right, here we go. Welcome to the Loving the Fight Marriage Podcast. My name is Travis, and I'm sitting here with my wife and my best friend, Dawn Rosinger.
Hey, everyone. One thing that you missed to say, Travis, is that you missed to say that I was your pickleball partner.
And co-host,
yes,
I
absolutely.
Both of those.
I love the co-host part, but yesterday we got to play pickleball, and that was a blast.
And we dominated. Okay,
we did. No, we won.
We did.
We can officially say that we won.
We won best of 3 out of 5, but maybe we should have played 7 out of 10.
Right.
I don't know.
And it was a windy day, and we won.
We won.
It was so much fun.
It felt good.
If you guys haven't tried pickleball, I would recommend going out and grabbing 2 paddles because it's something that you can do with your spouse, and you can either play singles or you can get another couple. You can play doubles and. Man, it's just a fun sport.
And what made yesterday so much fun was this is a couple that's crushed us before a few times.
Right, yep.
So somehow we were on and we beat them.
Is that gloating to say that we won? Or just excitement?
It's probably not great.
Yeah.
Let's say it anyway.
Right. We did win. We're not that competitive.
Oh, well, my.
No, I'm a little bit more competitive, but I like to be on the underdog team. Not saying that you're the underdog.
Oh, thanks. You just threw me under the bus. I can't help it that you grew up in an athletic family. That's how unathletic I am. I can't even say the word. But I grew up in a musician, actor kind of family.
Yeah, but you have other skills. You have the creative brain, you know, there. But I don't have that so much.
You sounded like you said creative brine, which is like a pig
creative
or something.
Brain. I know our
creative
tongues are getting
brain.
Tied. They are.
Which is weird because we just came back from vacation,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, we had
into
a great time.
A wonderful week. Well, you know what? When we were on vacation, we actually had to come home. So this is a great segue into our podcast episode today. Well, we had to come home and we had to jump on a plane, but for some reason we were flying Delta and they had gave us separate seats. So you were like in row 23B, you had the middle seat.
Oh my.
And then I had like 36C.
No, I had the like prisoner of war seat.
The small middle.
The middle
section.
Seat where you feel like you can't lean to your left and fall asleep because you'll drool on your neighbor. And the middle seat because you can't even lean to the right because you know, if you want to get up and get to the aisle, you're going to wake up the person next to you.
Yes, I
and
don't like the middle seat.
It's just a prisoner seat. Yeah,
but I was
horrible.
Excited because I know you had the middle seat and then I had seat C. Like in row 36. So we were like 13 rows apart. So you went up to the desk when we got to the airport and you asked them, you're like, hey, is there any way that you have some seats open so I can sit next to my wife?
So
right?
We can swap.
Yeah. Because we wanted to sit next to each other. We like each other. And that way, if we crash, you know, we can at least die together.
Die together.
Right?
Yeah. That's a good thing.
Well, when you went up there, you actually heard the person in front of you before you asked your question if they could move seats. And they said no. They said the plane was actually full, like overbooked full.
Right.
And so it was your turn. You asked the question.
Same question.
You know,
but
like
I wanted to be sure that I heard the right thing.
Yeah, why not try, right? And you knew you would have to come back to me. I'm like, I would have been like, did you at least ask? But
yes.
So you asked and you got the same reply, but then you looked at him and you said what to him?
I said, well, you don't happen to be looking for people to bump from this flight, do you? Like to take another flight? And he just started to lose his mind. He got this big smile. His eyeballs got really big. This very stressful man who was absolutely, he looked like he was ready to have a heart attack. All of a sudden he's at Disney World
right.
And he's happy.
Right.
And he's excited that I asked that question.
I must admit, when we got to the gate, there's people everywhere. There were so many people. I was like, how are we all going to fit on the plane? And so
right.
I wasn't shocked when you said that it was overbooked. But it's interesting that you were there in line at the exact time and asked him. And all of a sudden, we became heroes to him, right? Why?
We did.
Like,
weird.
Yeah. Well, I want you to explain why we became heroes to this gentleman and we saved the day.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, when I asked him, you know, if he needed to bump people and he right away, he's like, why are you interested? And I said, well, my wife and I don't work tomorrow. It's possible we could maybe, you know, get bumped and take a different flight, maybe a morning flight. It was, I think, in the evening, about 5, 6 o'clock in the evening. And immediately he was like, are you serious? That's incredible. And I said, well, what would you give us if we, you know, jumped off this flight, if we allowed ourselves to be bumped and took the next flight? And he said, $800.
Wow.
And I was like,
$800 is a lot
oh
of money.
Oh my.
Right.
My jaw hit the floor. I almost had a heart attack at that moment. It's like it went from him and bounced to me. And then I had this weird idea. I looked back at him and I said, each? And he goes, oh yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
It's not my fault. They oversold the plane. You're going to get $800 a piece. Do you want to do it? And I was like, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Did I just win the lottery? Like, how did this happen to me? I didn't even, you know, hand over $2 and get the scratch off lottery ticket. I mean, I'm just like winning.
Of course. Yeah.
Winning.
Yep. And I know it's funny when you said, you know, you came back to me and you said, hey, would you be, oh no, you texted me really quick. You're like, hey, come up here, run up to the gate. And not only did they offer us $800 each for a total of $1,600, they paid for a nice night in a really nice hotel. They shuttled us there and they gave us money for supper. And you guys, we had the best supper because we had almost an incredible budget for our supper.
We did.
And it was on Delta.
Piles and piles of food.
They paid
Thank you, Delta.
Yeah. And you know, it's crazy, you guys. We only paid $160 for our air flight.
Should we tell Delta that?
Yeah. And we got $1,600. We got paid to go on vacation.
Oh my.
We got more money coming home than we did. Than the trip costed.
And we're not bragging like bragging. That was bragging,
that was
by
bragging,
the way.
But this is not. This is sharing a blessing, an unexpected blessing that we got. Honestly, we really literally did pray. We're like, thank you, Jesus, for this massive blessing.
Absolutely.
Because it wasn't even vouchers. It was $1,600 in Visa gift cards.
That so we could download right away and start
immediately.
Using.
So we could have honestly jumped on Amazon and bought a computer or bought whatever for $1,600. It's crazy.
And the moral of the story is we're pretty frugal with our travel because we want to travel often. And we only paid like what, $1,500 for our entire
trip
to Florida. So we essentially, by sleeping in a nice hotel, having a great meal, we ended up getting paid. We made money.
We did
make like
$150. And then the next morning we flew out and they put us right next to each other.
Yay.
So the whole moral of the story is ask, right? Ask if you can sit together.
Yes.
And it may not be immediate, but eventually you might be blessed in the process.
Oh my, that was super, super fun. Ask to be bumped.
Yeah.
Yes. Super cool. Well, hey, after we finally boarded the plane that next day, was about 6 a.m. We were only about 2 hours into our flight home when I don't know why, but my mind was just kind of wandering. And I suddenly started looking around the plane. And then I looked down at my lap. And I'm like, wait, this is so weird. Like the most outdated piece of equipment is the, you know, this belt, this seat belt that's holding me to this chair, this airplane seat. And yet I'm flying at 600 miles an hour using insane technology. Like the plane flies itself, right? The plane could probably take off and land by itself. But I was just thinking of the irony of it all. There's this cheap little seatbelt that maybe costs $5 to make.
Right, yeah.
And it's like outdated technology, but it's holding me in place.
It is. And you know what it does? When I buckle my seatbelt, I just feel comfort. I do.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to buckle my seatbelt. I gladly buckle that seatbelt because I don't want to fly out of my seat.
Me too. I feel the same way. It's like, oh, okay. I'm safe again.
I'm safe,
I'm good
yes.
to go. Yeah. And so seatbelts are super important. And I realize that because, you know, if you have all this technology and 600 miles an hour, an incredible airplane, and you still have this old, you know, low tech piece of equipment, a seatbelt, and they still use it, it must be really important. Now, here's a crazy story about seat belts. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this or not, but this actually happened. Aloha Airlines Flight 243 was able to land safely, even though it lost a huge portion of its roof on April 28th, 1988.
Oh, wow.
By the way, this is according to the Washington Post. They said the twin engine 110 seat Boeing 737 jet was halfway into its 40-minute flight when it suddenly lost cabin pressure. And this is the crazy part, Don. This is the part why we say we relax when we sit in our seat and click our belt. According to them, they said that the ceiling of the Boeing 737 at that moment was torn off and a large section of the fuselage then followed, exposing passengers to extreme winds and at 24,000 feet over the Pacific Ocean. For those of you that are listening to this story, you got to look up the pictures.
Yes. Oh my word.
On
That's
the internet.
Crazy.
It's wild.
I mean, they just had that one plane where the door flew off.
They did.
But this is the whole entire rough.
Yeah,
the, plane.
The rough, really the top half.
Oh,
so
my
when
word.
You watch the look at the pictures, it's like, are you kidding me? These people are dangling out the plane practically, and it's the seatbelts, right, that are holding them in. But they continue. They say disaster struck when flight attendant Claribel Lansing, who was serving the passengers, was sucked through the opening.
That's horrible.
She died.
Wow.
That's crazy. And the rest of the crew and the passengers were left screaming in horror and were convinced that the plane was going to fall apart before the pilot could land it. Why? Because it didn't look like there was much left holding it together after the roof flew off. Now, the last piece of that story is, according to the Federal Aviation Administration, the captain actually took over the controls from the first officer, and he began emergency descent to Maui, successfully landing there 13 minutes after the incident.
That's absolutely crazy. Wow. What an absolute miracle, though, that they survived.
Incredible. Like,
wow.
How did they do it? And thanks to that captain, I mean, at 24,000 feet, you're going to freeze to death pretty quickly, too. So fortunately, he did what he needed. He got it landed. Again, look up the pictures. But guys, here's an important question. What allowed those in the plane when the roof ripped off to be able to live once the plane landed? Obviously, they're seatbelts. It's that simple. Something that is so low tech, but if you use it, it will save your life.
I mean, not many people fly, or, you know, maybe not as often. So we do wear our seatbelts when we fly, but there's also other seatbelts that we wear every single day, or should wear every single
every
day.
Every time.
And that's our seatbelts in our car. Now, seatbelts in cars have been around for what feels like forever. I just always remember jumping in a car and buckling up, or even those cars in the past where it kind of was automatic and it just kind of strapped over you. I don't even know if they make those cars anymore. But seatbelts have been around for a while. According to the Governor's Highway Safety Association, seatbelts are the oldest form of occupant protection, with Volvo patenting the first seatbelt in 1889.
Wow. That's a long time ago.
That is a long time ago.
That's crazy.
You know, however, it wasn't until 1968 that the federal government required seatbelts to be installed in all new passenger cars. So that's when they became. I remember you picked me up in a 1957 Chevy when we first married.
58 Chevy.
Oh, sorry, 58. 58. And I don't think they had seatbelts.
Hey friends, we'll get right back to the episode, but we just wanted to say, if this podcast has encouraged you in any way, please consider sharing it on social media, leave us a review, and be sure to subscribe. We would also love to hear from you, so feel free to leave a comment. And for more information about Travis or Don Rosinger, go to lovingthefight.com. Well, I think they were there, but they were buried. You're right. I don't think they
don't
were there.
I remember buckling
up.
Yeah.
I borrowed my dad's 1958 Chevy. I was buying it from him and drove up there.
Well, you know, this article goes on to say U.S. seatbelt use rates have steadily increased over time. And in 1994, the observed national seatbelt use rate was 58%. In 2019, seatbelt use had reached 91%. Yet despite these gains, too many drivers and passengers are choosing not to buckle up and are paying for it with their lives. In 2020, of the 23,824 passenger vehicle occupants killed in 2020, 10,893 of them were unrestrained at the time of the crash, or 46%.
Wow, that's so crazy. I mean, that's just weird. I mean, thinking about it, all they had to do was click. Put their seatbelt on, and it feels like a huge chunk of them may have lived and not died. Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
You know what? Seatbelts are simple, yet they probably help keep most of us safe, right? If we actually do what they say and buckle them. Ultimately, if we're in a car crash, they're going to keep us safe. In a car, the passengers in the car are moving at the same speed. So when the car experiences a sudden stop due to an accident, the passengers continue to move at that same speed. And that's why seatbelts are so needed. The seatbelt stops the passengers from their forward movement. I know sometimes, Travis, you mess around and you slam on the brakes.
I do.
I think just to see our heads go up.
I usually scream when
scream,
I do that.
And then you've done that to our kids.
Everybody.
Now they know when they drive with you that you're going to scream and slam on the brakes.
But they still scare them.
Yeah, our bodies just move forward, right? That's just
true.
When you hit the brakes. But the seatbelt keeps us in place. They don't need electricity or technology to use, which is cool because you don't have to plug them in. I mean, they're already connected to the car.
Yeah, they're just there.
But seatbelts, ultimately, they save your life and they can save the life of many others if they just choose to click that seatbelt.
Yeah, crazy. Low-tech equipment, been around since, what, 1880 or whatever you said, Don. But here's the key. You have to use them or you die.
Yeah, you have to pick up both ends and
click it.
Yep.
Yeah, connect it. So why are we asking the question in this podcast, you know, Loving the Fight Marriage podcast or this episode? Why are we asking the question, does your marriage have seatbelts? I mean, why would we do that in a marriage podcast? Well, it's because your marriage needs them. Your marriage needs things that keep you in your seat and keep your marriage alive. So the question, does your marriage have seatbelts, really means what holds your marriage in place and keeps it safe.
I remember when we were on the airplane, Travis, I could tell that you were thinking about something, and then you got out your phone and you opened up your notes and you started typing away. And that's exactly what you were typing in that moment as you were thinking on the plane, looking at your seatbelt, and then just thinking about marriage and how we need marriage seatbelts.
Yeah. And I part of it was because I, you know, looking at my seatbelt, and then, like you mentioned, that door flew off that plane not that long ago, a couple weeks or a month ago. And I thought, man, if we need seatbelts this badly, what are people doing to keep their marriage safe?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so we want to take a few moments and just share with you some of our seatbelts that we use to keep our marriage safe. And these may or may not work for you guys, but these are important to us. So before we do that, though, there's one thing to remember about seatbelts is that they actually hold the driver in, not only when the driver's hitting the brakes, but also when they're hitting the gas pedal.
True, because if you hit the gas pedal, you're going to go forward as well.
You are. Or maybe if you're a race car driver and, you know, they have seatbelts that hold them in place. And when they hit the gas pedal, they would literally fly out of their driver's seat. And so it's just the idea, you know, that there are different kinds of seatbelts for different kinds of things, some for hitting the brakes and some for hitting the gas. Well, it's the same for marriage. There are two types of reasons why you need seatbelts for your marriage. So let's take a look at that. The first one, again, we would call them a gas pedal seatbelt. When you hit the gas and you want to go forward, again, they hold you in place. So what does that look like in marriage? Well, these seatbelts allow you to grow your marriage and hit the gas pedal on your relationship. Things like values. Other words, you know, knowing what you believe in as a couple.
This is something that we go over quite often to make sure that we are in alignment with our values. We want to make sure, but we have values because from our values comes our mission and our goals and how we live life.
And our values are seatbelts for our marriage, just like our goals. Like you mentioned, Don, our goals are knowing where we're headed. It's being on the same page in key areas like finances, health, education, learning, relational investment into others, and spiritual growth, to give a couple examples. But those are some of our seatbelts for our marriage, our gas pedal seatbelts, like the Bible, reading the Bible daily and listening to messages from other churches and pastors. Don, you got home from work today, and I told you, I was like, oh my gosh, I listened to a pastor today, a guy by the name of Robert Madu. I just like
his style of speaking.
But he gave a message on being thankful. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And to be able to share that with you say, hey, this is one you're going to want to listen to. And so those are some gas pedal seatbelts for us.
I think a few gas pedal seatbelts that come to mind for me are just praying together. What we do every morning before work, when we eat, and having extended times of prayer when we're just like, hey, we just need to sit down and pray about some things more intensely.
So good.
Or, you know, rules for living or lifestyle rhythms, things like just working out, eating right, holding no grudges, maybe just treating everyone with honor and being a positive person instead of a person who sucks the life out of others. Again, those are just our gas pedal seatbelts. Those are the ones that we want to wear. And honestly, how about rules for marriage? Things like being quick to forgive, showing respect, trying to always meet the needs of each other, having great communication, which includes being a great listener. Again, those are just some of our gas pedal seatbelts that we choose to put on.
And we want to hit the gas pedal. We don't want, you know, our marriage to be stuck in one spot, not moving forward. And so these are some of the best kind of seatbelts. And again, they work for us, you know, gas pedal seatbelts. Yep. But what about your marriage? What about your relationship?
You know, there is a marriage seatbelt passage in the Bible. At least that's what we feel when we read it in Hebrews 13:4. It says this: marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So the honoring of the marriage is actually the seatbelt for hitting the gas pedal. That's the type of seatbelt you want to wear. But the keeping the marriage bed pure is actually the seatbelt for just hitting the brakes and stopping, making sure that you're staying in place.
Yeah. And so in other words, what we're saying is when you hit the gas pedal, it's like, hey, that's something we want to do. That's something we want to practice in marriage. But hitting the brake kind of seatbelt that holds you in place is like, oh, no, stop. We don't want to do that. And so we want to hit the gas pedal by honoring each other, but we want to hit the brakes by keeping the marriage bed pure. Yeah. No, we're not going to let that into our marriage, whatever that might be.
So we talked about hitting the gas pedal seatbelts, but what does it look like to put on the seatbelt for hitting the brakes? What do the hit the brake seatbelts actually look like? Well, hit the brake seatbelts is just saying no to spiritually compromising situations. It's honestly having accountability of your time, of your money, and your electronics. It's not having apathy about your relationship. Honestly, just not allowing it. We want to make sure that you have the attitude that we fight for each other and for our marriage. No apathy allowed.
Yeah, I think the important thing here is that we are talking about, you know, examples that work for our marriages that we would call hit the brake seatbelts that keep you and I, Don, in our marriage driver's seat. We're not flying out through the window.
Right, yeah.
Instead, we're still able to move down the road in this marriage that we've been hauling down the road of life for, what, 31 years, soon and to be 32 in the fall.
I think you should just honestly close your eyes and get that physical picture in your mind of slamming on the brakes. And what does your body do? It wants to fly forward through that windshield. And we want to make sure we're wearing those seatbelts so we're not flying forward.
Yeah. And one way that we hit the brakes is we just say, hey, no alone time with someone that we're attracted to of the opposite sex. That's, we're just not going to do that. We're not going to be alone with somebody, and maybe even just not at all, you know, whether we're attracted to them or not. No, we're hitting the brakes. And those are the kind of seatbelts we want to hold us in place. Or selfishness. This is not going to be a marriage built on selfishness or bad or negative attitudes. And we also don't want to use any kind of addictive substances or have addictive behaviors. We have hit the brakes seatbelts for that. And we're just like, that's not welcome in our marriage, and especially independent lives or lifestyles. We are going to be the two that became one flesh.
Yep, we're married. Why live independent lives?
That's absolutely true. We want to do this thing together. Well, seatbelts, here's a key, in a car are so important. I said this earlier. You have to use them or you will die. Remember what we said earlier, in 2020, out of the 23,824 passengers that were killed in 2020, 10,000 of them, 893, didn't have seatbelts on.
Wow.
And it makes you wonder if that 10,000 would still be alive.
Right. 46% of those people died. And all they had to do was honestly just put on their seatbelt. So in the same way, seatbelts for your marriage will not only keep you and your spouse in the driver's seat, but it will also keep your marriage alive. You know, seatbelts are kind of like insurance in case something goes wrong. Yet seatbelts aren't just insurance to keep you safe. They actually work in an accident. They do over and over again. We know people who, they said, man, they had seatbelt, you know, bruises, but it saved their life. But when your marriage has seatbelts, it can have a collision with bankruptcy, medical conditions, job loss, family fallouts, and many other things. But the marriage stays in place and strong. And when I say those things, honestly, think of the people around you or maybe your own marriage. You have gone through some of those things, but you were able to stay in place and keep your marriage whole.
Yeah, I think that's the reality. We're all headed towards a collision. Yeah. At one time or another, we're going to hit a bump in the road. We're going to slam into a wall. There's going to be something coming at us. And so, yeah, having those things in place will keep our marriage strong.
Well, you know, let's just give you guys a challenge today. Maybe sit down and ask your spouse if you can, you know, just write out your gas pedal seatbelts and your hit the brake seatbelts. marriage takes work. It takes time, but that time, that energy put into it is so worth it. I know we have seen couple after couple who didn't think they needed to work on their marriage when things were good. And then when the roof of their life just got ripped off, kind of like in that airplane, they had a head-on collision and they lost their marriage. Like, their marriage did not survive.
It's happened again and again. And it's like, no, be careful. You got to do the hard work.
Right.
You got to take the challenges. You got to sit down and write it out. It's worth it to get on the same page.
You guys, we just don't want you to fall into that trap. Don't fall into that trap. Don't fall for that trap. Write out what will keep you in the marriage driver's seat. So if you suddenly hit some tough spots in the road of life, which you will, that's one thing that we're promised, actually.
It's going to happen.
But you won't lose control and ultimately lose your marriage. Again, whenever we talk to you guys, when we're on it, we're talking to ourselves as well. What seatbelts, Travis, do we need to have in our life that hit the gas pedal seatbelt and then hit the brake seatbelt? We need to figure those out.
Yeah. And we just went on vacation, and on our vacation, we wrote out a list, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Of some new gas pedal seatbelts for our marriage and maybe some hit the brake seatbelts for our marriage. But it's so important. We need it. Boy, we think you guys need it. Take the time. We want to challenge you. Your marriage is worth it.
Yeah, we want our marriage to survive. We want your marriage to survive. With that, I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Loving the Fight Marriage Podcast. Remember, you can do it. You got this. Keep loving the fight.
We'll see you next time.